There we go. Okay. So good morning, everybody. We are on page 295, and we're talking about Shatnez. Yesterday, we're not on page 295. My mistake. We are on page 294. There we go. We're page 294, and we're talking about Shatnez, and we're talking about the reason, the rationale behind Shatnez. And this is something which is very fundamental, that even though Rashi mentions back in source 3 that Shatnez is considered a chok, that it's a gzeros hamelach, the decree of the king, and says in tam, it does. You'll notice that to say that doesn't mean there's no reason. Oh, look who it is. Hello, David and Yoel. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. Right. We're starting with to top of 294. So the
real boys, the show starts 6:45. By the way, just to let you know, not 6:50.
Go for Tuesdays.
Oh. Were we out here? They said.
No, he only got laser eye. He's just mad wealthy.
There you go. Okay. So again, just to reiterate something which I believe is extremely fundamental, that just because the Rashi tells us, and many people mention this, that Shatnez is a chok, ain't tamla davar, it's a decree of the king, and what's very important to understand is that doesn't mean there's no reason, just that the reason is not readily understood. Now, as opposed to don't murder, don't steal, don't lie, don't whatever. Those things are really understandable. They're the rationale. You don't have to be a philosopher to figure out the reason behind them. It's about society. Says that's why the Sefer Chinuch in his book explains the mitzvah, explains the rationale behind every single mitzvah. So here we go. Says the Sefer Chinuch. I'm going to give you a reason behind Shatnez. Here we go. Good. He gives a reason behind every mitzvah. He says that there's a reason why these things are forbidden, right? These mixtures. And why are these combinations, right? Right? Are considered forbidden. Here we go. Why they're forbidden lasos? Inyan acher shenasru bavuro. There's something else. There's another reason why they are forbidden. The fee. Shekach osolis arvus ola akach. There's something about the ability and these mixtures is that what does it do? It's so strong. Shemit batel mipalu sol fisha koach hamazal hamuna oshenem minim. Wow, that if you're gonna connect and you're gonna combine these two entities, these two mixtures, that it's almost gonna have an impact on the mazal. It's going to impact on their powers. It says in English, the constellations, right? Like mazal tov, right? It's going to impact them that have been placed on these two different type of species. Hamashal alze, kamosha ataro e, shahamar kiv min vishino mino, yichadsho livro min shlishi. You combine two entities. You have entity A and entity B, and now I'm weaving them together. Right, got my wool and linen all mixed in. I've now created a third entity. Nimsa shabitla archava koach shnehem. You've destroyed, you've negated both of them. Wow. The alkenim nu mahalos aruchenu af ki na'asa biyadenu. Even though we do it ourselves, we've destroyed these two entities. Dvar shemareh b'no ratzon l'achlif tavar b'maseh el hashimus. Oh, that God created something in a certain way, and we want to perfect. So we're allowed, it's funny, you know, we take wheat and we turn it into bread. We're perfecting God's creation. Nothing wrong with that. But here he says, for whatever reason, I'm messing and toying with these, with wool and linen. We are essentially saying what? That we want to perfect God. We want to be better than God. And that's why he says, that's why there's kilayim in these three areas, of zrayim, of shatnez, and animals. by the seeds, by mixtures, by our garments, and by the animals. Okay, very, you know, almost a metaphysical type of response by the Sefer Chinuch. Others mention, when it comes to wool and linen, so the answer is very simple. Wool comes from an animal. Linen comes from the ground. It's a plant. You have to realize that these two are two entities that don't necessarily should be intertwined. These were two entities that, in fact, if you know anything about history in the world, they were always combating each other. You always had people who were the nomads, and the nomads were focused, of course, on the sheep, on the herds. They traveled from area to area, and those people who were stationary, like the farmers that in the agricultural world, they were stationary because they had their fields and their farms. And there's always tension between these two groups in the ancient world. And so in many ways, there's supposed to be a distinct world, right? Hierarchy of the world. So, you know, I tell you else, people mix up humans. They think humans are animals and animals are humans. They're all one and the same. So maybe perhaps the same idea. There's a hierarchy. There's a difference between plant life and the difference between animal life. And don't necessarily combine them together. Okay? Like I said, the reasons are not always that readily understandable. That's what Sefer Chinuch says. And then the Rambam in Source 6, he gives a totally different reason. Wow. He says this is an anti-Avodah Zarah rule. Why? There were priests, your pagan priests, Kumarim, Komne Avodah Zarah, Loshim Bizman, who came him. In those days, in the ancient world, the pagan priests wore woolen clothing. And you know why we're against woolen clothing? Because it is pagan. It's Avodah Zarah. Rambam goes on to say, everyone knows this. This is what was. That is still the way it is in Egypt. Okay, that I cannot comment on. I have no idea what the ancient priests used to wear. That's the Rambam says. Okay. Number 7, the shatnez, at the realize. By the way, all three types of kalayim I should mention, right? Not just shatnez, but all three types of kalayim. Again, there are three types of kalayim. You're not allowed to mix seeds, you're not allowed to mix wool and linen, and you can't have two different types of animals working together. They can't thresh and plow together. It says the Yalkut Yosef in Sar 7, this is Asr where? Isur Kilayim Noheg B'chomakom. It's not just Asr in Israel, but also in Toronto. Now, you would think maybe Kilei Zeraim, that maybe mixing seeds, only apply in Israel. After all, it's an agricultural rule. No, it applies everywhere. So it's in... It applies during Beis Midrash and even got, unfortunately, after the Chorban. Right? The Yalkut Yosef here is speaking very much of Sefer Chinuch. He's echoing Sefer Chinuch, who also describes the applicability of each one of the mitzvahs. B'din ha-nashim, shaveh la-nashim, and there's no difference between men and women. The Israel, the Visha Shatnez, when it comes to wearing Shatnez. Okay. This is going to be complicated. What exactly is shatnez? Does it apply to, what does it mean? Let's define woolen, let's define garments, let's define woven, very practical. And then the other question I'm going to ask there is how do you try on a suit? You go to a store, you try on a suit. How can you try on a suit? Maybe there's shatnez in it. How could you even put it on for a second? Maybe there's shatnez. What do you guys have in shatnez? 100? 1,000? 2%? How do you try on any suit without checking it for shatnez? But you can't check a suit for shatnez unless you own it. So we'll have to talk about that too. Let's continue. Source 8, Mishnah and Kilayim. Ein Isser Mishum Kilayim Ella Tavivaru. When it says in Allah to mix woolen, what does that mean? It only applies to things that are spun and woven. Shenemar, as it says, lo tilba sha'anez, dvar shehu shua tavoy venuz. That's what it means. Only things that are spun and woven. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar mer naluz umalizhu es aviv shua shemayim alav. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar uses the word sha'anez to mean that the person is sitting and they are perverting God, and they're causing their Father in heaven to avert himself from him. Okay, so shatnez is definitely not a good thing. Now, the term shua tavui in venuz are very strange words to use. and the Mishnah is telling us, what exactly do they entail? So, you know, something I use the word, you know, even if the English here just says shua tavoi venuz, right? But saying some type of sewing or stitching or spun of some sort. And that's what Rashi defines in number 9. What's shua? Lashon chalak, that it's smooth. Tavui is what's called the yachad, they're spun together, and nuz is referring to woven together. So this is be very important because shyness is being defined. If the woolen linen need to be, you know, I guess smooth, they have to be spun together or woven together. I remember I've gotten one phone call my entire life. The same lady, actually, young lady, called me 2 or 3 times during her career. She was studying at, like, Seneca or studying at one of these, you know, colleges. And she was taking a course in fabrics. Oh, yes, a fabrics course. And she was in a very difficult situation. Why? Because one of the courses she took was she had to weave together different garments, weave together different, you know, items. And she needed to weave together wool and linen. And would she be allowed to in school? Can she weave together wool and linen? Is that usher to do? Meaning, is the isser to just to, you know, to wear shanes? What about making shanes? Is that also an issue? And if she's placing this on her lap, is that a problem? Okay, anyways, another time. But it's a very interesting. Don't get those questions too often. Jews aren't usually on the production side, manufacturing side of things. At least not hands-on. Okay. Tosfos, number 10. First bit of time, you do raisa shatnes ksiv ad sheyeshua tavui venuz. According to the Torah, they need to be spun and they're going to need to be woven separately and then, of course, all come together. Right? Shua kulecha levado, smoothed out separately, nami tavui venuz levado, and harkach yachtav lechavadam. You bring them together. Upirish news. How you fine? Okay, fine. Let's don't worry about that so much. The Rambam is going to tell us the exact same thing. They need to be mixed together. Okay? Like, you individually smooth them out, you spin them out, you get them ready, and then you combine them. And that's, in fact, what the Shulchan Aruch says as well. I'm going to skip a little bit just to, because that's important. Okay, the Shach in 13, he tells us something which is very important. Rova poskin sfer lehu delivadim. When it comes to something like felt, that would only be an isur de rabbanan. Okay? Because felt is not processed. So you'll notice that we said that what is considered the isur de rice of shatnez, it needs to be shua. It needs to be smooth. It needs to be spun. So what about if I don't spin the wool or I don't spin it? It's like raw. So that could be that we do not violate the Isur D'Oraisa of shatnez. So that's what the Shach points out. That most people feel that if it's just this raw material, it's not processed, right? It's not spun. It's not woven. That only be an Isur D'Rabbanan to combine it with you know, wool or linen. So, okay, next. Look at 298. Gemara. Okay, what's considered, like, connected, right? Like, what's considered, so again, I have my material, my raw material, I spin it, it's smoothed out, it's woven, it's nice, and then I combine it together. Okay, great. What does it mean to combine it together? What does it mean? So, says the Gemara in Yevamos in 14, Vakasim Yibale Litokev Shte Techifos, Chibor Vetechifa Achas, Ena Chibor. The Gemara here wants to tell us that it's disgusting about Shatnez. But when the Pasuk tells us that the wool and linen have to be together, it's a teaching important halacha. What do I mean? That if you combine these two items, you need to do what's called Tokev Shte Techifos. You need to stitch two stitches together, right? So you take a needle and you stitch them together. That's what it means, chibur. But techifa achas, if you do only one stitch, nah, one stitch, that's not connected. So if you just place one linen on top of each other, just place one of each other, that would not be considered shatnez. To violate, shatnez, you have to stitch them. And you need two stitches, right? I guess one stitch is not, I don't know, it looks like temporary, doesn't look permanent. Two stitches, they are affixed together. Okay, fine. But that's what he says here. That's an important Gemara.
He'll suggest
if you're going to a marketplace and you're, I don't know, you want to sell wares and you want to sell fabrics and you have a fabric of wool, a fabric of linen, and you're carrying them in your hand, you're putting them on your shoulder, you have them in a bag together, right? That's not a chibur. That's just, you know, on top of each other or next to each other. That would actually not be an issue. Okay. And in fact, the Rashba says this. The Rashba says straight out, you're allowed to put a, let's say I'm wearing a wool shirt and a linen jacket. Can I put my wool shirt on my linen jacket or vice versa? You're a very trendy dude, you know? Linen jacket, not that common, but it's trendy, it's cool. And you have a wool shirt. Why you have a wool shirt, I have no idea, but you do? That would be permissible because you're just placing one garment over the other. They're not being stitched. And if they're not chibur, if the issur is to combine them, to connect them, if you just place them on top of each other, that would in fact be permitted. And that's his tshuva of the Rashba. Okay? And that's what he says in 15. Let's see it inside. Amarti lechem Rav Yehuda Tzarfati. The Rashba often quotes this Rav Yonasan Tzarfati. And he quotes him. I think it was his, I can't remember what's the connection, but he quotes him a lot. He says that he heard from this other rabbi. He's quoting, he says, you told me that this rabbi said it's forbidden to do, and you need some type of separation, and I disagree. Okay, Rabbeinu Yona was the Rashba's rabbi, and he says, not true. He says, I would eat, you know, you heard the name of Rabbeinu Yonah that you would wear a wool garment to your coat. You wouldn't necessarily tighten your belt because you didn't want to, you know, have the belt go over both the pants and the jacket, but just to place it there. He said, Tshuva. He says, what's his answer? You asked him, you're mentioning both these rabbis who the way, I apologize, Rabbeinu Yonah was not as, I don't think Rabbeinu Yonah, it's not the different Rabbeinu Yonah, it's not as Rabbeinu Yonah. But regardless, the Rashba was asked about these two rabbis who would be, you know, the first one who would not wear a jacket, wool jacket with a linen shirt. And at the same time, also the guy wouldn't put buckle up pants that would connect the two. And he wanted to know what his opinion was. What did he say? Kach, he said, halacha lemaise, kach nagu kol yisrael. This is the minhag. Shezeh bifnei atzmoz bifnei mutar. I understand. Pants and a jacket, belt over it. That's not a chibur. That's not a chibur. Jacket being placed over a shirt, it's not a chibur. Permissible. Afilu mechubarim, these are permissible. They're separate entities. Just because you place one item on another, it is not considered stitched, and it is absolutely fine. Okay? That's what he says. I guess in those days, they're more into wool and linen, you know, jackets and shirts. Not pants. We don't really. Well, the truth is, you know, linen pants, wool pants. I mean, wool for sure. Wool pants, right? No problem. And a linen jacket. That's very trendy, right? Linen jackets are. I'll tell you the true story. This goes back. 1990 or 91. I was in my. I went to Miami with my family for winter break. My grandparents used to live there. Lema Shalom, and we went to the market, and my father bought a blazer, a jacket, that on the label said 100% wool. He brought it home. He got a check for Chardonnays. The Chardonnays person called him up and said, excuse me, but your jacket, which says 100% wool, is really 50% wool and 50% linen. You cannot wear this jacket. You couldn't even fix it. You know, you take out all the threads, you have a jacket left, it'll fall apart. So you do have to be careful. Okay, we'll talk more about that in upcoming days. So again, he says here, very simple. He says the Rashba, you need to connect them, just to place them on top of each other. No violation. There's not even Issur d'Rabbanan. It's nothing. It's just not shatnez. Shatnez means it must be connected. Okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch in 16, Beged Semer Shechibrim Beged Pishtan. Says the Shulchan Aruch, a wool garment that is connected to a linen garment. B'tekifachas, in a chibur, with one stitch, no chibur. In the kalim, not kalim. Kabet Shnei Rashi Echutit Kechaz, or Shetag HaShnei Chtivos Arehid Kalim. If you two of them, it's Aser. Says the Rama, not only, this is a fascinating Rama, the lo have kilaim ela b'shtei techifos. Says the Rama, there are those who say it's only kilaim with two stitches, but not just two stitches. The kasher shtei roshi lachut. You have to tie them. I mean, just because you have two stitches, if you don't tie the end of a stitch, what happens? It's loose. Meaning, having two stitches is not a chibur unless you knot the end, or else it will slip out. So says the Rama, you did two stitches. That's not a chibur. Within seconds, you could move them apart. They're not connected. There's just a string placed through them. So the Rama says you got to then knot the ends. What do we see from here? An important concept. It needs to be a real chibur. It needs to be really attached. Okay. And that's the Chochmas Adam in 17 spells that out. And he says, listen to this. You could even connect a wool garment and a linen garment, al yedei knaplach, which we would call a hook, right? You're allowed a button. You're allowed to, because when you button a wool item to a linen item, you button them together, that's not a chibur. They're connected. Yeah, they're connected, but that's not the purpose of wool and linen of shana. Wool, linen, and shana is that they've become one garment, one entity. When you connect something with a button, they're not really connected. Is it permanent? Yes, it's permanent, but it's not a real chibur, right? Can you believe it? So the Chochmas Adam tells us a fascinating thing. What about if you use a hook? No, that's also not a chibur. It's a button, a hook. That's not what the Torah is referring to. By the way, not even the Rabbanan. That's nothing. It's not shanas. The definition of shanas is totally you take wool and linen and you integrate them, you weave them, you combine them, you turn them into one brand new entity together. That is not a hook. That is not with a clip or a. And he says, "Avimhem hu takim nefesh yeshal tzibakal elim ken." Yachfuf akarsim or shikra nekavim, that would be asa, right? Unless you'd have to like rip it out or destroy it, that would not be considered all together. And the last one, what time is it? 7:12. Okay, fine. We'll do one more. Says Yaakov Yosef, muta lechaber begei shel tzemer. It's permissible to connect them with clips. And even if it's permanent, let's say, you have a permanent wool and linen, two items that you've put together forever, he says that's okay. Unless, bilvad sheyu refuyim sheyu chalot tziyam b'li kriyata nekavim. Okay, he's, but Yaakov Yosef is quoting what we said before. It has to be somewhat loose, though, and make sure they can be removed without tearing the holes or bending the tops of the hook. Chibur de ruchsan. It's also true with like a zipper. That's also cool. I never thought of that, right? Zipper also connects two entities. What about wool and zipper? Or tiktok, right? This idea of, or like snaps. Not considered real chibur. V'chein, mashem atzu hayom, that you sometimes see today, or tape. Srite had baka, ayidei chutim keshim b'shnei tzadim, chumitzer b'shtem ayidei hasrat, in the nechsh of the chibur, he says, same idea. If you take adhesive tape, right? You take tape and you have, let's say, threads, right? What they call Velcro. So can you, what about Velcro? What about if I take Velcro and I connect things with Velcro? He also said that would be permitted. Wow. So Velcro, zippers, hooks, and buttons would not be a problem at all. Okay? That's what he says. Now, okay, fine. Very good, wonderful, very important. It's an important topic. What time is it? 7:14. Okay, fine. Let's stop there for today. Continue the laws of Shatnez on page 301. God willing, we'll do that tomorrow morning. We've expanded to day 3 on Thursday. We'll see you, God willing, tomorrow. Shkot, everybody, for coming, for waking up early. And we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you again.
Bye-bye.
Please join us. Bye.
Thank you.